What should you teach your children that they might believe God? And this is directed primarily at the parents, and as we see happening today, and I know we're going to see more in the future, where more and more adults and grandparents, parents and grandparents, begin to turn to God and to the Bible. When they do and begin to realize many of the truths of the Scripture, one of the first burdens they have is, what about our children? In many cases, the children are grown already and gone away from home, and they have the next generation coming up. In some cases, the children are in their teens and a little harder to reach as far as the Bible is concerned. Their early training has been neglected. And this question comes up, what can I teach my children out of the Bible that they might believe God? And the Bible is, in most cases, anywhere from 800-900 to 1,000-1,200 pages, depending upon how it's printed, but it is a pretty tremendous book. Where do I go and where do I start to teach children from the Bible so they will believe on Jesus Christ? Let's go back to the book of Exodus, and we'll start in the chapter with the Ten Commandments. That's a logical place to start in any Bible study, and many non-Christians, people who've never attended church, hear about the Ten Commandments. It's one of the most commonly known or understood parts of the Bible, the Ten Commandments God gave to the children of Israel. And we'll start reading in those, Exodus 20, starting in verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now that is not a statement by God that he's going to punish the children for some sin that the fathers commit. But you notice, the implication is very strong and definite that the children will suffer for something the parents do or do not do. And that thing, apparently, is if they worship any other god. So it is required that in order for the children to not suffer and to become Christians and to live under God, that the parents should. And I should interject here that this is a rather stiff statement by God not to have graven images or any other likenesses. In other words, don't have anything else that you worship more than God Almighty, because if you do, your children will suffer even on to several generations. And we'll see how that affects them more as we go on. Now turn over to Exodus 34. And this is a specific instruction to parents about the observance of some certain days or certain rituals. Exodus 34, verse 22 and 23. And thou shalt observe the feast of weeks of the firstfruits of wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. So here is a ritual, in effect, which you are to require that your children observe. And this means whether they actually believe or understand what they're doing or not, you see that they hear about this and know about this. Well, the Feast of Weeks, of course, is a reference to the Passover. The Feast of the First Fruits is a reference to the tithes of the first fruits of your harvest. And the Feast of the Ingathering, as we've explained before, is thanksgiving unto God for all the bounties and blessings that we have. So you be sure your children understand Jesus Christ as the Passover. He is our Passover for that observance and the communion service. Also that they are told to tithe of their earnings, of the first fruits of their labor, of their harvest. And also they give thanks unto God for everything that they have, including specifically well, we have identified as the actual Feast of the Ingathering, the Thanksgiving Day kept in America. And if you do those three things, then you will begin to have a very definite beneficial effect on your children even when they are small. All right, turn over to Deuteronomy 4. And as we read this, I want you to consider the impossibility of your children learning to do any of these things or observe any of these things, understand any of these things, except that you see they are taught. This to someone else. You can't turn it over to the public schools. You can't leave it for television to take care of. You can't expect them to learn it in the newspapers or the magazines. This is what the parents and the grandparents are responsible for. Deuteronomy 4, starting in verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor, for all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. And here in these few verses, he tells Israel and Israel's parents how they will have this praise from all the other nations who will see Israel as such a great people. For what nation is there so great who have God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. And here is the simplest and easiest way for you to remember all the things you read in the Bible. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. I'm not a teacher, but I am a preacher, and I do know, and teachers have told me this, that it is literally true that the teacher learns more than the student. You cannot possibly pass on to those who you're teaching everything you have learned. But if you attempt to pass on something, then you learn more because of your teaching it. If you want to learn God's Word, teach God's Word. And here, in effect, God is saying, you be careful that you do not forget all of these things that I have done and all these laws and statutes and judgments that I have taught you, and you teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Especially, now here is a special thing that is to be taught the children. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. So the special thing parents are to teach their children in Israel is about the day Israel was given the law, statutes, and judgments at Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai. Verse 11. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire under the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. Now here he is giving, and we're going to read the rest of them, a number of verses that you specially are to teach your children. Now notice he said you teach them all the things that happened at Mount Sinai and all the miracles in all the statutes and commandments, but you especially teach them of what physically went on there. Verse 14, and the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. And notice here the repetition. You saw no manner of similitude. Make no graven images unto yourself, any likeness of anything that is in heaven and in the earth. This is repeated, of course, in the commandments, and also repeated a number of times here. Here's a reason. Lest ye corrupt yourselves, and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth, and lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. Now I would guess from all of this that Moses, speaking in the Spirit of God, is warning the Israel people not only to be sure they taught their children all of these things that went on at Mount Sinai, but to be sure that they made absolutely no picture or graven image or anything that would be called a similitude of God. Now, I mentioned this in my discussion on the Christmas thing, and I did not put this in my book, perhaps I should have, that I believe one of the major damages to young children from the Christmas celebration is that millions of children get the idea that their God is a little baby. They are given to believe that their God is a little baby in a manger. Now, how can you relate that little baby to the God that supposedly created the heavens and the earth, gave us all of these laws, brought our fathers out of Egypt, and will take us into the kingdom? And here he is warning them very specially. You teach them what happened at Mount Horeb, but remember, you saw no similitude of God at Mount Horeb. All you saw was fire and thunder and lightnings and words and the mountain shaking, and you tell your children that. And I believe that's why he goes into this. This is the negative aspect. You tell them what you saw. You be careful. You don't give them some knowledge or some idea of something you did not see. Verse 20. But the Lord hath taken you, and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. Yes, you teach your children that God brought your fathers out of Egypt to make your children an inheritance unto the Lord. This is very important. That young people, and when I say children, I mean little children, when they're just beginning to understand, they should be told who they are, and apparently it is especially important that they be told what happened when God chose our fathers for this inheritance. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, and swore that I should not go over Jordan, and that I should not go in unto that good land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not go over Jordan, but ye shall go over and possess that good land. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Two very important things. Forget not the covenant I made with my people, and make no graven images or likeness that the people might worship instead of me. And I cannot repeat this enough. And this has taken me years to recognize this danger of having drawings or pictures of what we say is Jesus Christ or our God or any similitude. Many parents mistakenly believe that a nice drawing of this very famous drawing of Jesus Christ in the bedroom of their young child will help their young child understand and know more about Christ as they talk about him. No, the children then think of their God, if not as a baby in a manger, then as a man. God is not a man. God is spirit. God is a consuming fire. And when you explain Jesus to your young people and to your children, they must be made to understand Jesus was not a man. Jesus was God Almighty in human form. The enemies of Christ and the enemies of Christendom are working diligently to try to convince millions of our people that Jesus Christ was a man. And one of the major means whereby they can do it is to present us with pictures and drawings of a man. And I believe this Deuteronomy 4, this chapter, where the Israel people are told over and over what they must teach their children and why they must teach their children, is very important to understand why he repeated this. Do not make any similitude. You saw no similitude of God at Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. And let's remember, God is jealous over us because we are of Israel, the wife of God. Isn't it something when you can tell your children that this race of people, God's chosen people, God has actually chosen them to be a marriage partner? And a marriage partner, as you know from the laws of marriage, becomes one flesh. We become part of God Almighty because we are His wife. We are the bride of the great God Almighty, and He is a jealous God over Israel. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image. Notice, the first thing that Israel does when they corrupt themselves is make likenesses of God. Or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke unto anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunder ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall be utterly destroyed. And of course they were driven out, and the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve God as the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. And we understand this was fulfilled in history. God's Israel people were driven out in the Assyrian captivity, passed on into the European area, and you have read in your history books all the gods they worshipped in Greece, and all the gods they worshipped in Rome, and all the gods of France and Germany, and all the gods of our Scandinavian ancestors. They did, because of their sin in old Canaan land, fulfill this prophecy. Now Moses goes on. But if from thence, in other words, in all these lands where you'll be driven, thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That has also been fulfilled in history. Millions of God's Israel people have sought God and have found him in Jesus Christ in the last 2,000 years in the land of our scattering, in Europe and, of course, eventually here in America. Now he's getting down to the end of the age. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. Yes, These are all things you are to teach your children. Just imagine the tremendous story, the very romantic and interesting story we can tell children of 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 years of age of how God chose our fathers and brought them out of the land of Egypt. What happened to our people when they turned from God? How he brought them through the land, and the promise that when we seek him, he will remember his covenant back with our fathers. You see how powerful this is compared to the story that our children are told in the so-called churches today, that Jesus Christ loves you and died for you, and he'll save you, and he'll keep his covenant because he brought the Jews out of Egypt 3,000 years ago. No, brother, sister, this message is powerful only when it's related to the Israel people who are told they're Israel people. And this is actually God's instruction to parents and grandparents. You know, he said, tell it to your sons and to your sons' sons. In these previous verses, we read that we are to remember these things. Now, here's what we're to remember to do in verse 32. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. What great thing? What great thing does God say you're to teach to your children as the greatest thing that has ever happened in the past or in the present? Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and live? Or hath God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Nothing like this has ever happened in all of the history of the world. What God did when he went into Egypt and brought our fathers out and brought them to Mount Sinai and gave them the laws, statutes, and judgment for Israel. And you are to tell your children in detail of this story that this is the greatest thing that has ever happened upon the earth. Now, this is not told our children today. I will say this, and I can testify of the effectiveness of this kind of teaching personally, because actually the only things I remember from Sunday school when I was a child are these stories. Some of you older people remember this, the maps of the wilderness and Egypt and the maps of old Palestine, and we were read how Abraham traversed this area and showed all the places he went, and Sarah, and where Isaac was born, and told about Joseph going into Egypt, and we were told how God brought them out. We read the story, traced them on the maps, had to learn all those strange names that we couldn't even pronounce. But we were taught those things when we were little children, 6 and 7 and 8, 9 years old. I suppose at the time, we probably thought this was pretty hard stuff. And maybe the people teaching us even thought it was a little foolish. But years later, when I heard for the first time the identity we were Israel, I accepted it practically immediately because I remembered all of these things I had been taught as a child about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and the children of Israel and Joshua and so on. And apparently from what we read here in Deuteronomy, this is specially the things you are to teach your children, and especially the day at Mount Sinai, the day at the mountain. And then in verse 35, unto thee it was showed, and here's the reason, that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, there is none else beside him. All of this was done to the children of Israel, that they might know he was God and there is no other God. Do you mean to tell me that if our children are taught the story of God bringing Israel out of Egypt and taught the story of what happened at Mount Sinai and taught the Ten Commandments and the other statutes and judgments that they will believe God? I thought we had to teach them all about the babe in the manger and about Jesus Christ. And yet I hear that the way to teach Israel how to believe God is to tell them how God went into another nation and brought Israel out to himself and what he did at Mount Sinai. You read this Deuteronomy 4 over a few times, and you will believe, as I do, that this chapter of the Bible tells me that if we will teach our children about God bringing Israel out of Egypt, and what God did with Israel in the wilderness, that our children will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to give you a little more witness of that in the New Testament. And I hope to prove to you the fallacy of thinking what we need are evangelists to come around and save a few of our children when they're 15 and 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 years old, when we have the instruction in the Bible that will save every one of our children when they are children. If we would listen. If we parents would listen. Turn over to the New Testament. I want a testimony here from Jesus Christ to the effect that teaching these things will lead children to believe in God Almighty. This is the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Most of you know it. And you know, the rich man asked Abraham to send Lazarus to his brethren. Verse 27, Luke 16. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. In effect, the rich man was saying, you send Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, to them, and then they won't end up like I have. And here's what Christ gave as the answer for Abraham to say to the rich man. Verse 29, Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. But the rich man argued and said, no, we want someone who's been raised from the dead. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Now think, when we teach only Jesus Christ, and only Jesus Christ from the New Testament, we are in effect saying, if we will teach Jesus Christ raised from the dead, they will repent. But what does Jesus Christ himself say, or put in Abraham's mouth, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, brother, sister, that's Bible doctrine. You cannot, according to my Bible, save and convert and make believers out of your children by preaching Jesus Christ. You must preach Moses and the prophets. Now, Christ said this again, so we understand, in John 5, where he was speaking to the people, and in verse 18 I read, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal to God. And then he answers these people and tells them, among other things, in verse 45 through 47, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. Or he meant, apparently, in whom ye say ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But, he says this twice, if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Now, brother, sister, this is serious business. because this flies in the face of practically all evangelical work in America today. This flies in the face of practically all missionary work in the world today. The preachers and the missionaries and the seminaries and the churches go out and preach Jesus raised from the dead, and what is happening? Is the world, are our people, are our children being converted? No. This may help you understand why. Ministers who have investigated the Billy Graham Crusade tell us that of the thousands and thousands of people who go down at the Billy Graham Crusades, practically none of them follow up with evidence of conversion, become Christians, and go to churches. Why? Because they are not and have not been taught Moses and the prophets. And Jesus Christ himself said in simple words, if you will not believe Moses and the prophets, how shall you believe my words? Now I say this also because I believe many people misunderstand this. And some people criticize some of the kingdom ministers because we preach out of Moses and the prophets. You know, we're in there all the time. And it's because we believe, and I sincerely believe, that America will be turned to the Lord Jesus Christ by the preaching of Moses and the prophets because Christ himself said so. And I find this among people who write to me and I've talked to personally. After they begin to get an understanding of Moses and the prophets through my preaching, then they read their Bible and Christ's words by the hours. I don't have to preach and repeat all of these words of Christ because then they go read them themselves. And after all, I'm on the radio only 15 minutes a day. There's a limited amount to what I can do to a family. But I believe that this nation, God's Israel people, are going to be turned to our Lord Jesus Christ through the preaching and belief of Moses and the prophets. Now let's go back to Exodus again. The Ten Commandments. And I'll show you that this literally is stated right there, if you think about it. Exodus 20, and God spake all these words, saying. Now notice the preamble to the Ten Commandments. God didn't start out with the Ten Commandments. What did he start out with? I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You cannot understand the God who gave us the Ten Commandments unless you understand he's the God that went in Egypt and brought our fathers out of the house of bondage. When you understand the circumstances and the God who gave us the Ten Commandments, brother, sister, they mean more than any simple reading of the Ten Commandments could ever make them mean. And I believe that's why he followed up in the instruction to the parents, to teach them how I went into Egypt and with miracles and terror and a strong arm brought your fathers out of Egypt. And he began the giving of the Ten Commandments and the law, statutes, and judgments to the children of Israel by saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Turn to Deuteronomy 4 again, verse 33. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as thou hast heard and live? Or hath God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation? Never has happened before. It happened only to our people, and it was done that way to prove to this race of people, Israel, that he is God. Verse 36. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. And upon earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out of his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt. Do your children know that they are the chosen of God Almighty, and that the proof of that choosing is God went into Egypt and brought our fathers out. You see how important to teach our children over and over, God brought our fathers out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. To drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath there is none else. How will you know that? How will your children know it? By teaching them what happened in Egypt and the wilderness and at the mount when he gave them the law. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. Do you realize that if our children are taught these things, that we will raise up a generation of children who know they are what we read of Paul in Romans 4, of Abraham, heirs of the world? You know, we sang a song. Second verse says, O may thy consecration prove source of a finer, nobler race. You want to raise a finer, nobler race in America? You teach them that God himself went into Egypt and brought our fathers out to take them to a people unto himself, and chose their seed after them, chose them, chose your little boy and your little girl and your grandson and your granddaughter to be a people unto himself, because he loved our fathers. And the proof is what he did in Egypt, the wilderness, and Sinai. You try that, and I can guarantee you, according to the Word of God, that you will raise a family of believers, more so than are being raised anyplace else in America today. Let's read that verse 32 again. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Brother, sister, if we raise a generation of children who know and understand and believe and have in their hearts the faith that God Almighty did what he did out of Egypt, the wilderness, Sinai, and Canaan land, you will find we have a generation who believe implicitly in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ said, in effect, if they will not believe Moses and the prophets, how will they believe my words? And if you turn that around, it states very specifically, if they believe Moses and the prophets, they will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is what you, as parents and grandparents, are given as an instruction. Where do you start in the Bible? Start in Moses and the prophets and tell them, read them the story of what God did when he brought our forefathers out with a great and mighty hand out of Egypt. And if they understand the things that happened there and believe them, it will be a simple thing for them to believe that Jesus Christ has redeemed them for the kingdom that's to come. It will be a simple thing if they believe this great day at Sinai. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this instruction, and we pray that you will help us to make this a real and living and faithful thing, that our children and grandchildren may see the great mercy you had for our fathers, and the mercy you show towards us because of thy love of thy people. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.